Welcome to the Motivate Your Child Action Plan audio series, session number 8. In this session, we want to talk specifically about spirituality and integrating the spiritual strength into our family life. I think we have to think a little bit differently about spirituality than what is commonly thought. Some people relegate their spirituality to their quiet time or to going to church on Sunday or listening to a sermon on the radio. And what we want to do is help children catch spirituality. That means we're going to bring that spirituality into every area of our life, including our parenting.
What we want to do is be more transparent about our relationship with our Heavenly Father and how we rely on God throughout the day, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, that God is working in our lives as parents. And we want to be transparent about that and help children see that God is actively working in our families, that God wants to do a work in our child's heart, and He wants to empower our child to change. So that's going to create some different dynamics maybe in family life as we rely on the Holy Spirit to bring about change.
Now, in the book, we use both the term prayer and spirituality or an active spirituality in ways together. So sometimes we call this prayer, and sometimes we talk about spiritual awareness and so on. It's all the same thing here. We're trying to bring spiritual power into the plan so that we're calling on the Lord for His grace and His help to move things forward. And I think we're going to do this not just in the child's life, but we're going to do it in our lives as parents too. So we want to ask the Lord, give us spiritual strength to do our part of this process. In order to do that, I think we have to see God at work in the daily interactions of family life. When children are misbehaving or they're behaving, is God at work in the midst of that? I think He is. When children are having a significant conversation with us or with each other, God can be working in the midst of that. When anger flare-ups take place in the home, that's a problem that's getting in the way of the Lord's work. We want all of those things to be viewed as a part of what God wants to do in our lives. There's a spiritual wholeness we want to have about our lives, and we want to look at our family holistically, including that spiritual dynamic.
So one of the first things I think we want to do as parents is to pray that God would give us spiritual eyes as we look at our family, as we look at our children. What is God doing in their lives? And as we look at our own hearts, what is God doing in my heart as a parent? And out of that, we may see some things that we want to bring about change in, some ways that our children may need to change. But we want the plans that we develop to be embedded in what God is doing. So asking God for leadership, for guidance as we develop our plan becomes a key component here. We're not just creating a plan and asking God to bless it. What we're doing is looking to see what is God doing in the family here and how can I be a part of that as a parent? Or what is God going to do in my child's life in this month, in this week, in this day? And how can I be a part of that?
See, I really like that, because if you're allowing God to lead and you're asking the question, what is God doing in this situation, then you're more receptive and responsive to the Holy Spirit's leading in the course of the day. We may have agenda items about what we want to accomplish or what we want to do, yet God may want to interrupt that with some other concern. I think correction is a good example of that. Sometimes correction needs to take place in a home, and it's an interruption to what we had planned. Yet God may want to do something special in our child's life. And so watching where God is working is going to help us to be able to respond better and flow easier with the Spirit's work in our home.
As parents, we recognize that we know our children better than anyone else. We know them better than their teachers or coaches or other kind of leaders in their lives. But we need to step back and say, God knows our kids better than we do. He created them. He created their hearts. He's got them on a plan from point A to point B. And we want to be a part of what He's doing. And we want to be asking for His leadership and His guidance as we develop a strategy and a plan to help our child grow.
All right, so let's bring this down to a practical level when our child's having anger episodes, or he won't accept no as an answer, or she has a messy room, or has left the bathroom a mess. What are we going to do, and how are we going to call on the Lord in those situations to help us? I think it's a great question, and I think we have to do it as part of our plan. So if we go back to our plan and look at the ingredients we already have, we know that we have firmness, we have visioning, we have teaching, and now we're adding the spiritual component. So if we go back to the plan and in our discussions with our child, we're asking the question, what does God want you to do, or what is God saying to you, then that can often contribute to some strong internal motivation on our child's part to make some adjustments in how they're handling that particular challenge they're facing.
And we want our children to recognize that God is the one who empowers change. He's the one who can help us to make changes in the patterns and our tendencies and the ways of reacting that we're used to. He's going to help us to become sensitive to the situation in a new light. So we want to teach our children to call on God for wisdom, for strength, for empowerment, for sensitivity to the situation, recognizing that God is the one who's going to change our children.
When you say to your child, does God speak to you? And your child may answer no because she's thinking of an audible voice. It's an opportunity for you to talk about how God does speak to us. Now, I think this is foundational teaching that our children need to understand because God does speak. I remember when I was growing up, my father would hold the Bible in his hand before he opened it up for devotions, and he would say, are you ready? I don't know whether God's going to say something big or he's going to say something small, but he's about to speak. And that gave me this sense of anticipation that whenever we open the Bible, God speaks to us. And we would talk about the practical applications out of that Bible story for our lives. Applications that came to our lives as children or young people. God spoke to us, and I learned that easily and early on in my life because of the way that my parents interacted with God's Word with me. So I would encourage you to talk about how God speaks. He speaks through the Bible, but he also speaks through parents, and he speaks inside the heart of a child. And that inner prompting that a child gets is can be, or may be, the Holy Spirit prompting the child to do something. When the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something, we need to take action. And when we take that action, we can move in step with what the Holy Spirit is doing.
I think one of the hurdles that we need to overcome as parents is sometimes we have a tendency to keep our spirituality a rather private matter. This is something between me and the Lord. And what we're suggesting is that we need to be more transparent about that, share with our children what God is doing in our lives, because that will give an example of how God is working in their lives as well. So we can share, you know, what the Lord is teaching me or the area that God is growing me in, as an encouragement to our children to be asking those same kinds of questions of the Lord. What are you teaching me? What do you want me to learn in this situation? So we want to just raise the awareness of God working in each one of our lives by being more transparent about it.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, keep in step with the Spirit. I like that because it provides us with an opportunity with our children to do an activity to illustrate that. If you have young children or elementary age children, you might do some kind of follow the leader or walk next to me and when I turn, you turn, or if I stop, you stop kind of an activity. And we do that, we can go back and say, what does that mean to walk in step with what God is doing or walk in step with the Spirit? When we do that, then our children can learn a little bit more about God working in our lives. You see, we don't always know what God is doing. We're sometimes wondering, what in the world is happening here? But there are many times we can look back and say, wow, did you see how God put all that together? Now, those kinds of things are great for kids to hear because when they see God at work in their lives, they're often able to then anticipate what God might be doing next. And kids have this uncanny ability to trust the Lord when they learn what this is all about. So I would say raising the awareness level of the Lord's working in our lives in general is good, and then we'll move more specifically into a child's problem as we're trying to bring this spirituality into the action plan for your child.
I really like that activity, the idea of sharing scripture with our children and then doing some kind of activity to bring it to life. That can be really encouraging for our kids as they see how active God is and brings the scriptures to life, I think, if we do some kind of activity connected to the Bible verse we're sharing.
Now let's go to the specific problem of an anger management plan or keeping your room clean or dealing with temptations that come when someone texts you some foul language in a text message on a cell phone. When children are faced with those kinds of challenges, they need to have a plan. We've talked about firmness, we've talked about teaching, a strategy, we've talked about vision and how we're building character. And as we're moving with those three things, we want to allow the initiative of God in our hearts. So one of the things we can do is we can allow God to speak to us because he will convict us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And so what that means is that he's going to give us indicators about, well, that's the wrong thing to do or that's the right thing to do. And we can learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit in our daily practice. So children can get indicators from the Holy Spirit, and then they have to pay attention to them. The paying attention to them comes with a whole different concept about God and his grace and what that looks like. But first, we want to have kids try to listen to what God is saying in regards to their specific problem. We can't overemphasize the guilt nature here of conviction because we don't want children to get this perception about God as judge only. We do want kids to understand the holiness and wrath and judgment of God, but in this case, we're mainly talking about how God empowers us to do right, and I think that's probably an additional piece or maybe even a more important way that we communicate to our children about how God is going to work in our lives moving forward.
So we want to be teaching our children to be calling on the Lord for strength and for wisdom, for guidance throughout their days. We don't just pray before meals and before bed, but all day long we can be asking God to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. And helping children develop that kind of skill and pattern in their lives can be so helpful as an encouragement to them that God is working and as a way for them to rely on the Holy Spirit in their lives, a great practice for them to begin, even when they're young, to realize we can call on the Lord throughout the day.
So listening to God is important, but also then relying on that strength, as Joanne just said, I think is very important. So that strength we call grace. When God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you," when Paul wanted to have the thorn in the flesh removed, God is saying, I'm giving you the strength you need to deal with this every day. Now, God does the same thing in every one of our challenges. He gives us what he calls grace. Our job is to position ourselves underneath the spigot of God's grace so that we can embrace that and use that to wisely meet the challenges that we face. So, yes, it is true that God can help a young child overcome an anger problem, that God can help a teen know how to stand for family values when tempted to do otherwise. That, yes, God can help a child have a neat bedroom. Now, all of those things are possible because it's God's grace that's at work. It's the energizing power of God to help us move forward. It's a spiritual strength that comes to us, and that's why it's so important for us to, in this step, be thinking about how that spiritual strength might be incorporated into the action plan with our child.
So one of the things we're going to do as parents is we're going to be praying for our children, certainly praying that God would be working in their hearts, praying for ourselves as parents that we'd be sensitive to those teachable moments and to where God is working. We also want to be praying with our children so that prayer becomes a part of our meetings, prayer becomes a part of what God is doing in the child's life, and we're teaching children how to pray out loud, and we're teaching children how to call on the Lord for wisdom and strength. So our prayer becomes a very important part of the plan personally, as well as together with our child.
Let's talk about that child who might be resistant to spiritual things, because we can only go so far with this if the child is unwilling to respond. And children are all over the board on this area of spiritual receptivity. Sometimes children come to a place in their lives where they really question their faith and whether it's relevant to their lives. I'm not sure at that point we want to back off completely, but we certainly want to not force them to engaged spiritually, we may move back to a place where we're making observations and we're saying, I'm praying for you in this, or, wow, it's fun to watch God work in the midst of this, and allow the child then maybe not to be in the driver's seat as much as we would like, because they just are unwilling to do that. So I do think that we're going to continue to dialogue with them spiritually. We're going to talk about what God is doing in our family and in their lives, and we're going to do it in spiritual terms, but we may do it in a more gentle way and not require certain things of our child in order to allow for that spirituality to be part of the child's initiative. They're always going to live in that environment of the influence of what God is doing in our lives as we share that, but we're going to be careful about pressing that too hard and forcing them into some spiritual container that they might not quite be ready for.
And partly what we want to do is be persuasive, help them to see that a spiritual life is one of being empowered, it's one of encouragement and hope, and to attract them to the faith in that way, that, you know, God is really encouraging me in this, and he can encourage you too. So what we want to do is help children see that walking with the Lord is the best place to be, and try and encourage them toward that without demanding it of them.
Sometimes parents ask us, well, what do I do if my spouse isn't on the same page as me? And I would say that that's typical in most homes, that there's a spiritual difference between the husband and wife. Now, if you're blessed to have one of those families where both husband and wife, you're praying together and you're on the same page, then consider yourself quite blessed. But in most homes, that's not the case. And you may be the parent listening to this and wishing that your spouse was on the same page as you. But that's not actually where you're at right now. But don't minimize the power that you have to pray for your child and to exert spiritual influence on your home. Do what you can. As long as your spouse is willing to allow you to interact spiritually without creating too much of an offense, then you want to do what you can in the life of the child. If your child's unwilling or hostile toward the faith, then you want to be a little more careful, still being a light, still shining as a believer, making comments as you're able to do that, but being a little more careful about how you do it and choosing those comments and that initiative wisely.
We want children to see that our faith is real and that it's relevant to our lives. And in that way, they may be attracted to it over time, or at least we're making an impression on them that God is really real to my mom or to my dad. And they will see that over time and maybe even have to look back on that someday, and then it will become real to them as well. So being faithful in that as parents, not become discouraged if children are not responsive to that, because we don't know what God's doing on the inside of their hearts. They may be resistant on the outside, but inside they're contemplating, they're thinking, and they're observing. And all of that is a part of where they're headed in life.
One of the things we must acknowledge is that spiritual warfare is real, that Satan would love to destroy our homes, and Satan is real. For example, in Ephesians 4, it mentions that anger creates a foothold for Satan. Well, when the anger takes place in our homes, we know that that foothold that gets into our family, it damages relationships. Satan wants to steal and kill and destroy those relationships that we have, and anger is one of those ways that it happens. Spiritual warfare damages, or has a potential to damage our home, and so we need to be very cautious and careful about this area. It's real, it's powerful, and we need to recognize that the person inside of us, Jesus Christ, is greater than he that is in the world. So we want to trust in the Lord to work in our lives, and try to be strategic and wise in allowing the Holy Spirit to control us and guide us and lead us forward so that we can maximize change in our child and bring that unity into our family.
We've talked before about the value of relationship. Well, God is the God of relationship, and he wants to bring united relationships into our home. Sometimes those relationships are damaged by emotion, by anger, by outbursts, by unkindness. But we're looking for a way to bring healing into family relationships. God can bring that healing. So again, we're relying on him to fill us with more relational power to connect with our kids, to look for those opportunities to bring healing in relationship, He can do that, and it's a part of our walk with Him each day.
As you work on your plan now and bring spirituality into your plan at whatever level you can do so, you want to, as we said, pray for your child. If every morning when you get up, you're praying for your child, it sets you in the right direction. You're watching for the Lord to work. You're sensitive to the dynamics that are going on during the day. You're ready for the challenges that might be faced, and you're eager to just see God pour out His grace in any particular situation. So preparing yourself for the challenge is very important. And then also praying with your child when you're able to about the situation at hand, so your child can also embrace that sensitivity about how God is working in your child's life given the challenges that your child faces.
And prayer is just an amazing tool that we have to come before the throne of God and lay out the problems before Him. And sometimes as we're praying for our child, we're praying for change, we think we know what we want to see different and see the change we're looking for, but then God changes us instead, and we see things differently, and we become more sensitive, or we become more compassionate, or we see a different area to be working on instead. So laying the problems out before our Lord, not coming to Him with all the answers, but coming with the questions. Lord, what do you want me to be doing today? And how can I be helping my child grow today? What can I be doing? And asking the Lord for some tough things, but watching God work in His way, not necessarily how we see it unfolding, but the way He wants to see it unfold. So coming through before the Lord with that kind of humility, I think can bring about some pretty fun things in our families as we watch the Lord work.
I was working with a 10-year-old recently who we tried to help him understand this idea of prayer and how to use prayer to work on his particular problem with anger. He was frustrated because he prayed and God didn't answer his prayer to take away the anger. And so we helped him think in different terms about how to pray in a way that would turn himself over to the Lord instead of just asking for something. Because God doesn't always take away our problems, but He does give us the grace to deal with them. So when we helped him see that his prayers could be changed to prayers of yielding instead of asking, it helped him to get a better picture of what God wanted to do in his life. And it helped him as part of his plan. When he had a written plan, an action plan, and on the left-hand side of his T-chart, he had written prayer. And at first I just thought, well, he wrote that down there because, you know, he's trying to please me or please his parents. But I said, what does that mean? And he had a great answer. When he started talking about prayer, he said, I just need to pause. And when I ask God to help me, then I'm trying to find out what He wants me to do in that situation. I just really like that kind of yielding that that child does. And it's going to help him move forward. Prayer is a very important part of his plan as he's trying to change.
And I think that's wonderful when we can inspire our children to see that God is going to be using prayer in their lives, that God is going to change them through prayer. And praying happens throughout the day, and it happens in the morning, and it happens at night. And we want to be relying on the Lord throughout our day. As we're doing that as parents and encouraging our children to do that, we're going to see changes in their lives, and we're going to see God's work come to life in them.
Another thing that we can do as we're trying to help our children change is to use the scriptures. Sometimes children can memorize scriptures that are helpful. Again, I would look at scriptures that are empowering scriptures, not necessarily scriptures that point to guilt, although both can be helpful. It depends on the child, but I generally think that instead of having children see that the scriptures can be a rule book, we want to see that the scriptures provide us with things that we can rely on in order to move forward. So the reality that God is at work in our hearts is something that can encourage children, provide hope for them as they're trying to move forward. Memorizing scripture is helpful for children at any age because it gets God's word in their heart. And the Bible says that when I hide God's word in my heart, that I won't sin against you. And that's a way that God uses His word in our lives to prevent us from sin or to guard us from error, to guide us in the right direction. So the scriptures become a very important spiritual tool for change in our hearts.
And sometimes parents are concerned because if they have their children memorize verses that they don't really understand, isn't that just a little bit useless use of time? But the reality is that God can change a child's heart. As children memorize scripture, he's going to use those scriptures over time in their lives. And they may not understand all the words now as children, but as they get older, God can use those words powerfully in their lives, because children have an amazing ability to memorize. I think as we get older, it's harder for us to memorize those scriptures. So spending time encouraging our children to memorize scripture when they're young is going to benefit them for the rest of their lives.
And it's true that adults often memorize scriptures and don't fully recognize their value until later on. The insights that come from God's word continue to impact us. So that is a wise piece of counsel for any parent. Even though your child doesn't understand the words, memorizing them is a good thing to do. Another thing that we can do for children is inspire them with stories from the Bible. There are a number of heroes in the Bible that overcome challenges because they relied on the Lord. And that visioning is also something good for our kids to hear. And certainly there are a lot of children that God used, spoke to, and worked through in order to accomplish his will. So kids can catch a vision for making a difference, for overcoming challenges by listening to stories of Bible heroes in God's word.
As parents, we want to be excited about God's word and then communicate that excitement to our children. You know, God's word is just full of amazing stories and inspirations, and we want to be looking to God to come to life through his word in our own hearts. And then share that enthusiasm and excitement with our kids as we're reading stories and telling stories from the scripture. And then, of course, helping children make that application as well. What does this story mean to you? What can we learn from this today? What's the lesson learned? Are important questions to ask once we share the scriptures with children. What do we learn from that? How does that apply to my life today?
Also, parents are growing in the Lord, and sharing that growth with our children is a good thing to do, especially as your children get older and you're dealing with relational challenges in your home, to be able to say to a child, you know, the Lord's trying to help me work on anger. I'm trying to allow him to control me more in that area. I'm trying to learn how to be wise in relating to you, and I just appreciate you doing the same, because I think that God wants us to have the spirit of unity between us, and I think if we allow God to work in our lives, we can move that direction. So, telling inspirational stories about our own lives or revealing our own vulnerability to our children spiritually can contribute to this sense of God is at work in our world, and it's not just something that takes place on Sunday, but it's something that's happening right now in my own home.
And as a parent, this may take some practice. This may not be something you're comfortable with initially, but over time, you can become more comfortable with it as you practice it as a discipline, to be sharing spiritually with children, to be humble and share what God is doing in your life. That's going to help our children over time. So we want to begin practicing that as a parent, even if it feels a little awkward at first. It's a good discipline to be in.
Recognize that this area of spiritual strength that we're trying to bring into the plan here has a lot of different pieces. It has pieces that have to do with prayer, of course, but it also has to do with spiritual transparency, studying God's word, finding illustrations in God's word that help our children, dealing with grace, and allowing children to understand the empowerment of God in their lives, being filled with the Holy Spirit. All of those things are parts of this spirituality. And that's going to mean that you're going to have to pick and choose the pieces that are most appropriate for your family. Important thing we want to say here is that by allowing spiritual strength to be part of your plan, then you can really call on some power from God to bring about change in your child. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to bring about change. We know that when God works in our lives, he's moving us from point A to point B. He's using firmness and visioning and teaching and spiritual strength and coaching in our lives. And so if we can take those same things and apply them in our home, if we can bring those things into our life, then we are preparing children for their spiritual lives forever. So we want children to understand what that's going to look like in very practical terms, and allowing God to work in our home in the specific challenges that our children face every day in positive ways can be a great way to do that. God is moving and doing hard work. Raising a family is hard work. It's worth it all. It's amazing to see. And God is working in our family.